maybe it's like Link's Awakening where you get instruments instead, and it's like, you found the umami flute.
That sounds dirty. That just sounds dirty. I'm sorry.
I'm not taking it back.
God damn it.
It's mostly, I can't take it back. They don't accept returns on umami flutes.
So it'd be guys.
I wouldn't. Nope. I need to return that. No, that's yours. Buddy.
No.
Umami Flute is the name of my Led Zeppelin cover band.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay.
No, that's pretty good.
We are Umami Flute. We love you, Cleveland.
This is Minneapolis. We said Cleveland.
I love Cleveland. I'm sorry, Minneapolis. It's just not working out. I want to see other towns.
That's what a tour is for.
Oh, I want to play the salty saxophone.
Greetings, Apropos. And buckle up for this sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Yay.
I'm sorry, wait. It's Umami Flute playing on the salty sex.
Yes.
With your host.
Oh, God. Salsa.
James.
Did you forget who you are?
I was trying not to choke on my own.
Fuck.
And Jenna.
I failed that role.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
I'll talk about gaming later. That was fun. What are we drinking?
I don't know.
I picked up what I thought was a cidre, but it's not. It is a spirited seltzer.
Attention. It's only spelled with an R-E in England. God.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's only spelled with an R-E if it's seltzer, a concept and not a location.
No, but there were other... From this same place, there were other ciders, and so I thought they were a cidery.
I see.
But Grey Duck is a spirited seltzer, Bomba Juice, it says. Ooh. Bomba Juice is apparently strawberry lemonade?
Bomba Juice is my burlesque name.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
Is Bomba Juice the company, or is Grey Duck?
I think the company is Grey Duck.
Grey Duck is the company, okay. And Bomba Juice is the flavor.
Okay. Sure.
Maybe? Well, okay, so what you're holding in your hand right now, this is the flavor text. What you're holding in your hand right now is a can full of goodness.
Okay.
We are obsessed with the taste and purity. Can you blame us? No one wants more junk. Well, that's not true. Like glutens and sulfites. Okay. That sounds awful. Grey Duck is simple. It's clean, brightly flavored, balanced, and completely unjunked seltzer. Huh. Like nature intended.
Unjunked seltzer.
Where do you find seltzer in nature?
Usually it's...
clown nests.
Okay.
I like yours better.
Okay, anyway.
Yours is better.
Here we go.
I'm never going to say yours is better ever again, but there it is. I'm not a big seltzer person.
Yeah.
I went through like a seltzer phase.
Yeah.
Tends to make me gassy and farty, so you did this to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the juice itself is actually quite lovely in this.
It's slightly more flavorful than a La Croix.
Mm. Yeah.
But beyond that.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm allergic to it.
Yeah.
Like, so far. I don't know what a Bomba Juice is, but it's not. Then again, if it was starting to make my throat sore, like other allergies that I have, I just came back from Convergence, and I would have no clue.
Bomba juice, la bomba juice, necesito un poco de bomba juice, un poco de juice in the little can there, and it's from Grey Goose.
Wow, that was... We're in the same place, and there was lag. Okay.
I don't know how I feel about any of this.
It's okay to feel negative thoughts about that one.
I'm actually so goddamn fucking tired. I have no idea what emotions I'm having right now.
Yeah, no, that's also
okay.
Fair.
That's so I guess we're gonna. James, what did you do?
Many things. I visited several shows at Fringe Fest. and had an absolute blast. Of the shows that I saw, So I saw a show called Happy Endings Church, which was fantastic. Like, it was very well done. The songs were well executed. The story was well put together. There weren't really any dull moments, but it rode a line. Are you familiar with Poe's Law, Salsa?
Uh-huh.
Jenna, you're familiar with Poe's Law?
Sounds right.
Okay. For the audience at home.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah. I'm not sure. I can't brain anything, so you need to explain everything to me tonight in kindergarten-level words.
Yeah. So I think is it Vonnegut or Heinlein that said, any technology sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic? I can't remember.
Kindergarten.
Nobody cares.
Anyway,
go ahead.
So, but
just get to the point.
I care.
That's one thing. But then Poe's Law is that any parody of right wing absurdity,
not just necessarily right wing absurdity,
sufficiently done.
Any parody.
Well, okay. Maybe so. I've only ever heard it in, like...
That's because it comes up so much when people are talking, having political conversations.
Probably
But
true.
It is not necessarily political. Oh, it is just any parody.
Sufficiently well done may be difficult to distinguish from...
Reality.
Actual stuff. Yeah. And so this usually comes up in political conversations for things like... Stephen Colbert being asked to speak at the correspondence dinner for George W. Bush, because for a while right wing people just did not know that he wasn't
actually right wing.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So there's that, and then but this felt a lot like that. It is a play that Jen Jensen and I have nicknamed the Rocky Holy Scripture Show.
Okay.
And, it was a good show, but afterward I was like, this is, if I didn't know the people in it, I might not be sure whether it's parody.
Okay.
Or whether it's, you know, pro, yay, church, boo, gay, you know, and it is, looking it up on the website, it's the dramatized fictional parody of something that actually happened with George W. Bush's religious advisor, who was very anti-gay, very anti-prostitution, very anti-drugs, and then founded a megachurch with 20,000 people in attendance, and then it was discovered that he had had sex with a male escort something like 36 times while doing hard drugs. And so
he's definitely against it, like up against it, like a wall,
grinding against
just
it.
Grinding against right. it.
Grinding
yeah.
against it.
Mm-hmm. And practically humping it.
So
just dry humping that issue.
But casting was great. The songs were fun. It was a good show, but like I said, the parody was a little too rich, a little too deep.
And did you get your happy ending?
Everyone did. That was the whole point of the show.
Awesome.
I also saw Kyle's show, which was also about religious trauma. And this is a theme. Then I went to see... what was next? Black Wall Street was next.
Oh.
And that was fucking amazing, but I'm also familiar from a couple of different sources with the Tulsa Massacre
right.
in Greenwood. So I went in there like knowing this is going to be, it's entirely likely that this is going to be a difficult show.
Right.
And it was. Like, it was exquisitely well done. It was deeply affecting. It was fucking fantastic. Every aspect of it was great.
Okay.
But that also means that it was a really difficult show. They put the audience in as if they were the audience of the Dreamland movie theater. which was in the heart of Tulsa.
Yep.
In the heart of the Greenwood district of Tulsa. And for those who are not familiar with the Tulsa Massacre, I'm not surprised because it's not taught in schools most of the time. But an entire black borough of Tulsa was completely leveled by the Ku Klux Klan. And so you're in there. Everybody's having a happy, fun, you know, wonderful evening. They're about to see a movie that they're looking forward to. And then everything goes sideways. And bombs are falling and people are dying. And it's a fucking mess. Yeah. All in the space of an hour. And we were lucky. They spend 45 minutes something doing the show, and then they spend 5 to 10 minutes doing a talk back to let the audience decompress, okay. Which was needed.
Sure.
So there's that. And then after we stepped out of there, Jen Jensen, my very regular fringe date. I love going to see shows with Jen Jensen. Mm-hmm. She was like, well, you know, we're going to go see Desi Heartcrest, which is a Bollywood dance show about a pizza place, I guess. And I'm looking forward to it.
God, I love Bollywood.
And yeah, so we're like, yeah, this is a perfect pick-me-up.
Ooh. No.
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 Nope.
Okay.
No, it was an absolutely gorgeous show. The dance studio that teaches folks Bollywood dance, mm-hmm. Partnered with a local place that teaches people traditional African dance.
Okay.
And they did a show about not exactly a Romeo and Juliet show, but a show with second generation Indian lead and then a black woman as the romantic leads. And a protest happens. The pizza parlor is burned down.
Aww.
And there are hard fucking conversations between the two of them. And it doesn't have the happiest ending. It has a happy ending, but not like... Not everything works out, and it's...
Not like the church had a happy ending.
No, very different from that in a lot of ways.
in every
significant
way.
Yes, Jen is correct.
Every way.
Possible way, yeah. So, but it was still, like, it was a heavy show. It was fucking amazing. The dance numbers were unbelievable, but there was that. I went to one last Fringe show, and it was finger licking good.
I am so jealous you got to see that one.
Oh.
That is like the one. If I could only make it to one, that was the one I wanted to see, and I couldn't make it to any.
Oh, I did see Arsgang as well from The Winding Sheet, which
that was the second one.
That gorgeous. I cried.
You're not making Jenna feel better
beautiful.
About this.
Yeah.
I'm so hoping jealous. That they'll remount it. If they do, we can go as a podcast.
Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe then we'll get our happy ending.
But then,
not Winding Sheet.
Yeah, Finger Lickin' Good amazing, definitely had some happy endings also. Holy shit.
Oh, buddy.
But yeah, that, I didn't get to see, most of Fringe with Kyle, but that show we happened to go in at the same time.
Nice.
And so we sat together in the front row.
Oh, God.
And cackled
the
entire time to the point where at one point Kyle's laughing and he's like, no, please, no. And the guy playing Colonel Sanders turns around and he goes, oh, that's the line, huh? And like, holy shit. Crying and coughing. Yeah.
The guy playing Colonel Sanders is actually a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I am not surprised in any way, shape, or form that he maintained character and addressed that situation. Oh,
no, everybody in that show was absolutely stellar. Jesus Christ. I hurt that evening from laughing so hard.
Okay.
Like, I think I dropped a rib or something. It was... Holy shit, it was good. And the songs were just blisteringly fucking awesome. And it was... It was brilliant. So I got to see a collection of really fucking awesome shows, and I hope that they all get more stage time. The way that Winding Sheet did with Mystery Box of the Sisters Fox.
Sure.
Where I got to see it remounted, which was awesome. So if you did not get to see those shows, and if you ever get the opportunity, I fucking recommend it. Yeah. So there was that, and then I spent the rest of the weekend putting together an RV. Tearing out ceiling stuff, remounting light fixtures, fixing the dining table, conditioning the water system, charging the solar system and connecting everything up. And
charging the solar system?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder you're tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And boy, are my arms tired. but getting all of that connected so that it started to charge. And I think the two things that I have left to do are waterproofing the bathroom and figuring out what the fuck is wrong with the water heater. And one of those is essential. So one of those may not get done. Yeah. But I'm fucking exhausted from doing 2 days of that.
Seems to be going around.
Yeah.
Huh?
Salsa.
Wait, does that mean I'm the high energy one on this show?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we're fucked. We are. I already made that calculation, but I wasn't mad about it.
There's a spreadsheet.
Because fuck it.
No, she did the math. No, I did not do that. I was at home, and I was creative. I did things in the shop. Because, hey, everybody, festival is this coming weekend.
Fuck.
Yeah, Minnesota Renaissance Festival starts this weekend in less than a week. There was much prep to be made. And so I spent my time in the shop making things that did not relate to Fest in any way, shape, or form, because that's how I roll.
Story checks out. Makes a kind of sense.
Mm-hmm. No, I got some wood turning done. I've got a few pieces out now. They're for sale.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So if anybody's interested in buying some really pretty stuff, I've got some gorgeous black walnut bowls and a bigger bowl and a lamp.
Check them out on the Discord.
Or you can go to my Facebook page, Sterling Craft.
Ah, check them out on
I was
the
about
Discord.
To say, he has an actual place for this.
Yeah, yeah. Where like they have prices and stuff.
You could link it in the Discord.
I could, but they could just listen with their ear holes and go to Sterling Craft on Facebook.
Sterling Craft on Facebook, yes. In the
there
Discord.
There will be a link on the website.
And we'll link to the website in the Discord.
Wow.
Got a feeling that James likes Discord.
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. No, I made some things, and they're for sale. So you should go check them out.
Yeah.
Because I'm proud of them, and they're very pretty. But yeah, no, that's honestly a lot of what I did. The rest of it's getting the kids ready for school and Fest and all that other stuff.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, we're getting them ready for their school year coming up in just a couple weeks here. Much too quick.
Yeah.
Getting really big and doing all sorts of activities and stuff like that. And
terrifying.
Not that terrifying, just busy.
I'm terrified.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I forgot I did stand up.
Okay.
My favorite thing that I wrote into this show was
hold on.
Yeah, was that I'm petitioning the Church of Satan to add a new holiday to the springtime. Oh. I would like every member of the Church of Satan to take on a vice or a bad habit for a series of days.
Oh, sure.
And I want to call it borrowed because it's the opposite of Lent.
I see.
Yeah.
I get that. I understand this joke.
And you said this in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
How did the people react?
They laughed.
Okay.
Yeah, they have low standards. Yeah.
Glad you have found your audience.
Well, I found an audience.
Anyway.
Okay.
Okay. So what I did.
yes, please, Salsa.
No. Listeners who remember last week, remember my wife was away and she returned. That's not worthy.
Well, she meant she made a choice, man.
Yeah. She made a choice. She came back. No, she had a fantastic time away from me. But she came back. But like she visited like the Biltmore and brought home Biltmore wine.
Oh.
Hey. Yeah. It's fancy shit.
Ooh, pick it up, bitches.
I know, right? No, it's some cool stuff. But, again, don't want to talk too much about that because it's not my story to tell.
Yeah, fair enough.
Too much. But, yeah, no, that's what we did is she came back and I was in the shop a lot. And that's really what I did because... Cool. Everybody else was at Convergence and Fringe, and I wasn't doing that, and so that's... I stayed home.
Yeah.
So...
Which is, that seems like an ideal weekend for you.
I was about to say, like, the weekend before Fest, like, just inside, chilling.
Well, I mean, we set up our tent and stuff like that. I had to resheath our platform in the campground and stuff like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, site crew was supposed to chop down a tree and they didn't. So we ended up chopping the tree down. And after we chopped the tree down, I noticed that the inside of this tree was gorgeous.
Oh.
This is a tree that had been dead for a while. And so it had spalted on the inside. And I was like, hey, guy who's chopping down the tree, you mind just chopping out a little section for little old me?
I've always relied on the kindness of loggers.
Oh my God. Yeah,
so that's sitting in my wood pile right now.
Hey.
Yep. And then just today, our neighbor chopped down a black walnut and was like, would you like some of this? And Jesus. I was like, yes, I would.
Yes.
Wow.
I moved here for that. Literally. So God get this damn. Offer from you so, right now. Yeah.
I have added to my wood pile. More pretties to come.
Not a euphemism.
Right.
This time.
Jenna, do you want to go or do you want to go in the next? Because you said you had a lot.
I have so much.
So we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back to Jenna. We'll be right back. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
All right, shall we talk about things?
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Yes, sure are. Let's talk about things.
I'm going to talk at you for a while.
All right. Grab your drink, James. Settle down.
Let's go to the garage and work on stuff.
Hey, piss off. No, I need you for color commentary.
She told us to piss off. It's time to go.
All right. Off we go.
God damn it. I hate you both. You're assholes. This weekend, I participated in Convergence.
I've heard of that.
I got in on Wednesday.
So have I.
Jesus Christ. I got in on Wednesday and I left this morning. It was just 5 days of chaotic energy. It's so glorious.
5 days of chaotic energy is my Umami Flute concept album.
Your opening concert has to be at Convergence, then.
Thank you. We are Umami Flute.
We love you, Cleveland. We're still Minneapolis.
You knew what this was.
God damn it. I don't know. Did that joke even make it on earlier?
No.
Oh.
I think well, so. I don't know.
Eh.
We'll find out.
Probably no, not.
Barbie comes with Xena. She fakes it with Ken.
This is accurate.
Ken so, doesn't have anything to use, so no
hey,
surprise
that
there.
Doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
You can compensate in many
yeah,
different ways.
Yeah, for example,
ways.
Salsa has two kids.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. So at Convergence, I saw Vilification Tennis.
I've heard of them, too.
I actually watched Vilification Tennis at Convergence from the audience. Oh,
that's wild.
Weird.
That was, it really was.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a thing that I've learned about watching a show that you've participated in for about 18 years.
Mm.
There is no way to not be critical.
Hmm.
And I don't mean, like, negative.
Mm-hmm.
I just mean critical.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I really like the way they did that. Oh, that was a really good reaction. Oh, you
this
know,
person
timing
has
was
good
off
stage
there.
Presence. This person
oh,
needs to work on
that. Well crafted. Like, all of that shit.
Yep.
There's no way mm-hmm. for me to just enjoy the moment of the show.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ah, oh, god damn it.
This is why I consider it an asset to not be a movie person.
Mm.
Because I just enjoy movies.
That's fair.
Because I don't know enough.
Yeah, I kind of do the same thing, honestly.
Mm.
Like, unless there's stage combat involved.
Mm.
So anyway, I watched it, and it was nice to be in the audience and, like, feeling their energy.
Mm.
That was cool. Feeling it from the stage and feeling it from being in the audience are two different types of energy, but it's still the same levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was entertaining. Of course, Vilification Tennis did an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
It is what they do. That was a good time that I had there that I only brought up because segue. God damn it. We need to stop hanging out. But I did participate in shows at Convergence.
What? This is the first I've heard of it.
Oh, fuck off.
Well,
not piss off.
You know what they say.
Fuck
if you're not
off.
Sure what show to put on, start cooking some onions and...
Oh, my God.
Garlic and make yourself a salsa.
No.
What,
no.
Is that not... Oh.
No.
Oh.
You are misremembering what salsa told you.
Shit, that's a pretty good payoff on that joke. Thank you.
Also, if you're putting cooked onions in your salsa, what is wrong
you
with
are
you?
Doing it wrong.
You don't like cooked onions?
Not in salsa.
Not in salsa.
You have fresh onions
Whoa.
In salsa, dude.
Mm.
Okay.
Mine.
Good.
Oh,
but nope. You're getting
have
the joke. All right. Thank you.
Nope. Okay, so... I did five performances, or rather, I did five shows, participated in five shows. The first one that I did, I wasn't performing, I was judging, because I am judgy. I was a judge for the Poetry Slam, and there were some delightful poets, it was a pretty good crop of poets this year. I got to sit up front and be judgy, and hang out with some people that I don't get to see very often, but it was super fun. Not much to be said about that other than, you know, there was one person that was just stellar. They got like four tens and like a seven. And the judge that gave
Holy
the seven,
fuck.
That's the highest score that he gave
Holy
the entire
fuck.
Time.
Okay, all right.
He's like, well, and the thing with the Poetry Slam is they drop the highest and the lowest score.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So they got perfect tens.
Basically, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, but
God
yeah.
Goddamn Russian judge.
He definitely was the Russian judge, yes.
it's the best poem I heard tonight. But it's not the best poem I've heard in my life.
Right. Well, that's because it's my poetry is the best.
Well, that's
so
fair. That's tough,
I understand.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
What? Huh? Huh? Are you? You? No, do you need a like cough, a little throat lozenge?
A little Primatine.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Some cooked onions.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. Yep. No.
No, cooked onions are delicious, just not in salsa.
But how would you know?
Because I've had salsa.
we know.
We're aware. Like,
look, your neighbors already know.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. So yeah, that's what I did. That was my show on Friday night. Saturday I had 3 shows.
Holy fuck.
Uh-huh.
But then again, it's you.
Yeah, like I probably could have fit in a 4th.
Yeah.
Maybe a 5th.
Kind of shocked that you didn't have a Fringe performance somewhere in there.
No, I actually opted not to do Fringe this year.
Yeah.
I was like, there's just no way.
For the best.
This year you're putting them on a wait list.
Yes. This is my super secret plan, is that they couldn't waitlist me this year because I didn't apply.
Yeah.
So now hopefully the curse is broken. And next year, when I apply, I won't be waitlisted.
So I actually, I do want to sidetrack things for a minute, if I may. But you attended Fringe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You attended Convergence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're happening at the same time this year.
Yep.
Yes.
Did you see a noticeable difference either way, that the crowds weren't there one way or the other, or were lessened, or did it really not noticeable?
I mean, there was a lower attendance than like in the prime of Convergence, but I think that was mostly like COVID. Some people weren't willing to come back.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of it was due to Fringe happening at the same time. There were a lot of people that were doing both.
Yeah.
Duck Washington.
Yeah.
Matthew Kesson, who was also a guest of honor.
Yeah.
Like there and like I
was five surprised or six others to see him in the show that I saw him in. And it was just, I was like, oh, that guy seems familiar. He must have been written as like a Matt Kesson type. Then I was like, it's fucking Matt Kesson. Okay, so it's definitely written to be a Matt Kesson type.
No, Kesson not only did Fringe.
Yeah.
But, and not only attended Convergence, but he was also a guest of honor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what the shit.
So no noticeable problems.
Not really. Most of the shows that I went to were sold out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked because I know people that usually do both and were only doing one or the other, so I wasn't sure if that was a widespread thing.
No, I don't think it was. I think a lot of the people that are diehard Fringe people just did both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I chose not to. And I feel much saner for it because I got to see the crazed look in the back of my friend's eyes as they're talking about,
am I supposed to be at the Rare Egg right now?
Am I supposed to be in Word Slingers or like Theater in the Round? I don't know. Where am I? What am I doing? They burst into their Fringe show during my set. Anyway. So Saturday morning, I started at 11 a.m., which is way too early to be performing, but I did, it was myself and Katherine Hansen did something called Morning Reboot, which is like, we both had about 20 minutes or so in story that we wanted to share. And so they just kind of put us up as a double feature.
Hmm.
And, she told one very interesting story, and I told 3 shorter, hopefully interesting stories.
I was waiting for the disclaimer on that.
Yeah. But after each of us performed, Philip kind of talked to us a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Let the audience get to know us a little bit better kind of things. And, like, I finished reading my 3 stories, and Philip says... And they were things like each one of them came with like a trigger warning. I'm like, this one is about alcoholism. This one is about abusive relationships. This one is about bullying. And like, I finished I finished my set.
Jenna's a barrel of laughs, isn't she?
Oh, hell yeah. But I finished
shooting
my stories.
Laughs in a barrel.
I finished my stories, and Philip looked at me and he goes, I have one question for you.
Mm.
Are you okay? And I'm just like, no, I'm fine. This is how I work through these things, honestly. And yeah. he and I had about a good 5-minute conversation on writing process, what types of things I tend to focus on in my writing, how I use science fiction or fantasy in my writing, when I choose not to, when and for what reasons I would choose various different environments. Because mm-hmm. A lot of my storytelling is about the human condition and humanity and emotional situations, sometimes relationships. And for me, the environment is kind of like, if I'm going to make it be sci-fi or fantasy, I want there to be a reason for it to be in that backdrop. And so one of my stories, little girl gets bullied, she turns into a giant mushroom and shoots spores at a person. And then wanders off to go plant herself near a sewer. But it was like in that story, I was like, I don't need to have this kind of a thing. It could just be a story about bullying. But there's a couple things on one. It was a very heavy piece, so I wanted to have something to help contrast that a bit. But also the whole concept was that this was a person that had, that just didn't want to be out in the light. It's a person that didn't want focus, didn't want all these other things. So to wrap that in a fantastical, turning into a mushroom kind of thing, kind of helped highlight those aspects of the story. So that's when I use it. And I said it even more eloquently on Saturday morning. I was on a fucking roll.
Nice.
So yeah, that was lovely. And then at 3:30, I did a concept of anxiety with Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe. I was his second voice. The show itself, Concept of Anxiety, is just his general title for whatever he feels like he's going to be doing that particular day or show. And so Saturday, he did stories from his Monsters in a Mirror book. And early in the year, astute listeners may remember that I did a short play based on some stories from his book. That like I like there were five of us that we each took different stories and we built them into short plays. So the opening and closing for Concept of Anxiety this run was the stories that I had originally smushed into two to make one short play. He separated them back out and they were the beginning and end. So I open up the script and I'm like, well, that looks familiar. I'm just like, yeah, I think I can do this. But one of the things that I love about working with Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe is that we flow very well in a spoken word style. When we work together on a piece, we have a very natural back and forth ebb and flow into each other. We know when to shorten the space between each of us and when to elongate it. Our intonations are similar. Especially when I get into spoken word mood. They just really complement each other really, really well. And I just love that. The performance was incredible. A friend of mine was in the audience and I was like, so what did you think? And they're like, the two of you working together was awesome. I'm not entirely certain how I feel about the stories yet. I'm going to have to sit on that a bit. And I was like, you just saw Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe show. That's what he does. Congratulations.
But the vehicle is good.
He's like, oh, you didn't write that? I'm like, no, that's all Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe. He's like, that's wow, that was you performed it really well. I'm like, No, it just happens that we connect really well on that kind of thing. And then at 8:30 on Saturday, I did a show called
How did they spell that?
Glasses and Spectacles.
Oh.
Glasses and Spectacles is my show. I produced it. I it's my concept that I had been noodling on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it is storytellers trying to tell their stories while doing other things. So can you tell a story while solving an algebra equation? Can you tell a story while drawing a picture? Can you tell a story while balancing something on your head? Can you tell a story while playing Jenga? Just things like that, right? Mm. And it's set up competition style.
Mm-hmm.
And I had four competitors. I had Mike Dineen, mm-hmm. Tom St., Jenna Packey, and Duck Washington.
Mm. That's a fucking all-star cast.
I'm how I got Duck Holy Washington fuck. To do this show with. So when I went to introduce all of them.
I'll tell you how you did. You said, hey, Duck, want to do a show? And Duck said, of course I want to do a show.
Literally
I'm Duck.
Incapable of saying no to a show.
I suppose there's that.
Yeah. It's the only thing Duck can't do.
Yeah, there are certain people that I know that just, if you put a show in front of them, they're going to want to do the show because that's... Mm-hmm. Them.
Well, so I had everybody write out introductions for themselves mm-hmm. so that I could introduce them as they came on a stage, whatever. Mm-hmm. Here are your contestants, because it is a contest style game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Duck was like, whatever. So when I got to Duck, I was like, your next contestant you may have seen in 15 different places simultaneously. you saw him at opening ceremonies. You mm-hmm. definitely should have seen him at vilification tennis. Fuck like, yeah.
The time turner in Harry Potter was based on Duck.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first round was reading a story.
Mm-hmm.
Simple enough.
Mm-hmm.
I fucked with the text.
Oh.
So one of the pages was the text of the story in mirror image.
Nice.
Oh.
One of them was went from blurry to not blurry to blurry.
Fuck.
One of them, the words, like each sentence was like little waves.
Wavy.
Little wavy things, and like bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller.
Nice.
And one of them, the entire page was kind of at a swirl.
Huh. Hmm.
I think that one was the hardest one, because at least with the other ones, you had definite lines.
You had a horizon, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. With the entire page being twisted. No.
Hmm. The mirror one, I think I could probably handle, but the rest of them, shit.
Well, and so here's the thing. Jenna Papke mm-hmm. ended up with the mirror one,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, I can do this. I've read like this before.
Yeah.
What the hell font did you choose? Oh, you don't like Georgia?
Oh,
with all of the serifs all over the place?
Oh, Jesus.
You don't like that one? Yeah. I wasn't particularly nice.
It's an unkindness, yeah.
But everybody got through it.
Yeah.
They were all telling 1/4 of the story.
Hmm.
It was Little Red Cap, the less gritty version. but still taken from Brothers Grimm specifically. So,
sure.
They told it like halfway through. I asked the audience, I'm like, have you figured out what the story is yet? And they're like, Little Red Riding Hood. I said, no, Little Red Cap, not Riding Hood. God damn it. Pay attention, audience. So, yeah. And we had fun with that. And then kind of as a reset in between challenge things, I had them do one word story.
Mm.
They fucking nailed that one.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that was solid. And then I had them do the actual challenge rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it was random draw on who went and random draw on what challenge they got.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, I made, originally my concept was to go out into the audience to have somebody draw the contestant. And I was like, mm-hmm. you know what? COVID rules. I'm just going to have my contestants do it.
Sure.
In the future, when that's less of a concern, I can audience it, but
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I had one of the contestants draw, and I was like, that way, if you draw your name, you have nobody to blame but yourself.
That's true.
And then whoever was drawn had to draw their challenge randomly. That way, if they pulled a challenge they didn't like, they had no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm trying to think of what the order was. Jenna Packey went first, and her challenge was tell a story while standing on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
That seems simple enough.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Have you stood on one leg for 3 to 5 minutes?
Yes.
Sucks, doesn't it?
It seems easy for the first minute.
Yeah.
Sure.
And she was allowed to switch, but at a certain point, her foot started cramping. It kind of sucked. And, like, I was about to be like, and I told them ahead of time, I'm like, if at any point something seems too hard or you're not having fun, just stop. Mm-hmm. Just stop. Mm-hmm. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Yep. And I was about to be like,
if you can find a funny exit, awesome, but
yeah,
not necessary.
No, not necessary. Just stop. And I was going to be like, okay, well, you can hold on to the microphone stand or something while you're doing this. And she was like, I'm done. Like, I didn't even get to suggest anything, but mm-hmm. it was one of those things where I was getting more and more concerned for her. And she was like, and I'm done. I'm like, all right. Thank you, Jenna Packey. Fair enough. The second one was Duck Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to tell a story while flossing.
Oh.
Not mouth flossing. The dance move. Flossing. And he breezed right through.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Wait, was he the second one? Or was it? Yeah, I think it was second. Because then third mm-hmm. Was former guest Tom St.
Mm-hmm.
Who had to tell a story while balancing a piece of wood on their head.
Fuck.
And they were like, oh, this is going to be easy. And, like, they put it on their head. They started talking. It fell down. And they went, hubris! And it was glorious.
Nice. Some people talk with their whole body. Holy shit.
Yeah. For Tom, I was like, that, okay, you think that's going to be. I might
have to steal that sometime.
And then the final one was Mike D, who told a story while playing Jenga.
Huh? Yeah.
I did not know that he is a Jenga wizard.
Ooh.
Had I known that, I would not have told him he could use both hands. But we did. The tower did get a little wobbly, and it did get a little exciting in bits and pieces. But no, it never fell down. And he told his story, and it was fantastic.
Fuck.
Then it was time to declare a winner. Mm-hmm. I had the audience applaud. I was like, look, you all get to give me your opinion, but I get to make the final decision.
Right.
And that was for two reasons. I was like, if anybody didn't want to win, because the winner gets to mm-hmm. tell a story uninterrupted and without challenge.
Right.
Right? If I had anybody that was like, I'm just not prepared or not feeling it or not, well, whatever, I could mess with that.
Flip the numbers.
Everybody was fine with doing a story, but like, yeah. I'm setting up the expectations now in case there's a situation.
Right.
Winner was Duck Washington. He told the story about how he got the nickname Duck. You should definitely ask him about that one.
Fuck, I want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. It's a pretty good story. People really seem to enjoy it. I didn't promote it at all. We still had...
Except on this podcast.
Well, yeah. But I don't think anybody that listens to this podcast was there, so I didn't promote it at all. But we had at least half a house, and it's BLB size. So,
oh, shit. Half a house is decent numbers.
It was more than I had for anything else save, like, the Poetry Slam.
Fuck.
I'm bad at estimating. I'm pretty sure it was over, but I'm just not good at audience guesstimations, so.
Mm-hmm.
But this morning, there was a post, and it is a picture of our friend Tom balancing a piece of wood on their head, and the photographer saying, glasses and spectacles performance had me laughing so hard. I hope to see this clever piece of programming again next year.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yakasha.
Yeah, so all of that happened. I had three amazing shows on Saturday, and I was fucking delighted. I had performer high, like, to the max.
That's amazing.
It was so good. It was so good. Oh, I forgot how much I need that feeling.
You made something
that drug fix
genuinely weird, and I'm so happy for you.
So yeah, I've already got a couple of venues interested in maybe putting it on the regular. So that's a thing.
Fuck yeah.
And then the last show I did was Golden Age Comic Books. It's a series that Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe puts together. Where he takes Golden Age comic book stories and turns them into a table read. So there's work with the narrator and a narrator to help guide through some of the more graphic bits. Not like blood and gore graphic, but like things that you only see visually.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah. The graphic bits. Yeah.
It was at this point in the story that Superman flew through the window.
Right. Yeah. But the performers were he did four superheroes. And each of us got a superhero except for Philip, who just did the narrator bits, right? So it was myself, Duck Washington, again, because of course Duck was there. 15 places simultaneously.
Duck doesn't know how to say no to a show.
But
I could go up to him and say, I need a performer for my kid's bar mitzvah. And he would be like, I'll do it.
He would, too.
He would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mostly because...
He would probably do the Batman and Joker thing that he did at Die Laughing that one year.
He would be able to do so many things because it's Duck.
Yeah, there's that.
Oh, I do remember now. Okay, but anyway, so the superhero I got to read was the Atom. Do you guys know the superpowers of the Atom?
Uh huh.
Not the actual thing, but the comic book superhero, the Atom.
Eating an apple from his wife.
No. ATOM.
I don't know. I'm from Adam.
The original. Oh, Jesus. Fuck. That was mildly clever, but I'm still pissed. No, the Adam in the original Golden Age comic book form was a guy who was short.
But mighty. Apparently,
that he starts off like the whole thing starts off. He's getting bullied all the time because he's so short. People are picking on him for his height. He gets the nickname the Atom purely because he is a tiny man.
Huh.
And then he meets somebody, drops out of college to go build muscle, and then is still short, but now has muscle and like I think eventually becomes a boxer or something. But
all right. Oh, man.
But Golden also Age a comics. Superhero. But also a superhero, right?
Yeah.
It's like the pre-Batman, but like without all of the money and charisma.
Right.
So, like, I handed this character and I read through it and I'm like, I know how I'm going to voice this. Gee, guys, why do you keep picking on me all the time?
Gee, Willikers.
Yeah. But, those were the words, too, because it's Golden Era.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
No, I see, because the Atom that I know is kind of got an Ant-Man thing going where he can grow in size and shrink in size.
No, not Golden Age.
Sure.
Okay, Golden Age, he was just a short guy, though.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
He must have gained these powers
later. Very original.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, and there's
hubris!
We did have a conversation after, like, a little talk back kind of thing where people were pointing out various different ways that things changed.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. It was okay to have comic book guy there because he couldn't really disagree with the text that was pulled directly from the comic book.
Yeah.
So there wasn't any arguing to be had. So, I mean, that was actually okay that we had a dude that could provide more insight. It was like this was his moment to shine.
Shit.
boy, howdy, did he have information for us.
Finally, the right place and the right time.
Right? So, yeah. Kelvin Hatley never ceases to amaze me with his voice work.
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
I agree.
He's
so unassuming, and then he just somehow is amazing.
Yeah, he just, you get him up there, and you're like, we need voices for this stuff, and he's like, okay. And he's just like, and you see him, he just kind of sits down.
Yeah, he's just so low-key and just low-key and chill. I'll just do this thing.
And then he's voicing a thug, and he's just got this deep booming thing going, but like a stupid deep booming thing.
Where the fuck did that come
and
from?
And you're just like, what the shit? I also got to voice a thug.
Okay.
Yeah. That was adorable.
Was it all of the weasels in Roger Rabbit?
Gee Willikers.
No, I the thing is, I didn't realize Kelvin was playing the other thug.
Ah.
So when I was like, how do I want to voice this thug? The voice of Kelvin, having voiced thugs previously, because this is like the fourth time we've done this series, popped into my head, and I was like, well, I'm going to do it that way. So we basically had Kelvin doing a thug, and then like discount feminine Kelvin doing a thug. Oh my God. It worked really well.
Choices were made.
Well, I mean, I'm still a different enough person to where it wasn't the exact same thing, but I kind of based what I was doing off of that because it just works really well. So yeah, and then Allison Anderson also did amazing. Some voice work, and she got some beautifully choice characters to play with. So all in all, it was just a fantastic time. Those were my five shows that I performed in. I also saw a couple of Matthew Kesson shows because he was the guest of honor.
Did you talk? Have I already forgotten about the competition that you were in?
The competition?
That you were like in the All-Stars thing?
No, that's not a Convergence thing. That's later. That's in the beginning of September. That's the Grand Slam is beginning of September.
You went through all of them. I was like, wait, wasn't she doing this one thing?
No, that's...
Okay, good. Because I was like, did I just zone out completely when you were talking about that?
I usually assume you're zoning out when I'm talking. Not paying attention or just talking over me for funsies.
You've got so much shit going on. I got my wires crossed.
No, that's
fair.
I was
like, I swear you were doing this one show. And
don't pay any attention to Salsa.
Yes.
He's an idiot savant.
I'm the man behind the curtain.
Don't pay any attention to him.
Yeah. Those are the five shows I did. I saw a couple of Matt Kesson shows. This will be fun for the both of you. For opening ceremonies, what they do is they have one portion of it is the guest of honors come up.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim was hosting. And Don playing Connie was also hosting. So it was Tim and Connie, but it's Don is the voice behind the puppet. And so they decided in order to get to know the guests of honor better that they would do two truths and a lie.
Ooh.
So each guest of honor would give two truths and a lie, and Tim and Connie had to figure out which one was the lie. Matthew Kesson gave his three statements, and I went, yep, I know which one's the lie. The lie is, by the way, he has never played Paul Bunyan even once, let alone three times. He could play Paul Bunyan.
Oh, sure.
He came up with a choice fucking lie.
Yes. Oh,
but no, he has never played Paul Bunyan. But then Tim was like, I'm gonna interrupt for a second here. So Matthew Kesson and I have worked together many times. I'm just like name dropper, like under my breath.
Drink.
He was like,
yep.
So I have two truths and a lie about Matthew Kesson myself. So Tim drops his two truths and a lie, and I'm like, fuck, I know which one is the lie here, too. I need to stop hanging out with these people.
Yep.
So that was just funsies. And yeah, like I got to see people. I fucking thrive on seeing people, and like it was just so nice to see all of these things. And I got to play a game with my daughter.
Oh?
I told Jessa she could drag me to one role-playing game.
Hey.
please make it easy. And she was like, oh, I know exactly which game. It's called Terran Revenge Fleet. The premise of this game is that there are some aliens that basically destroyed Earth. Mm-hmm. The few remaining humans decide that their only course of action at this point is to hunt down the aliens and blast them to smithereens because humanity.
Wolverines!
But they're not super smart, and they haven't really mastered space flight, so they're putting together these rickety spaceships cobbled together out of whatever.
Spaceworks.
Mm-hmm. As Jessa says, they're all just crayon eaters. And they go off into space, and they land on a planet, and they start attacking aliens, right? So we're a part of this thing, and we're going to go attack some aliens. There are two stats. There's your fighting stat, and your not fighting stat.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Every roll is made against one of those two stats.
That's so good.
You get 10 points to spread between the two of them, however you see fit. And then the two people with the highest non-fighting stats get to be the sergeant has the highest non-fighting stat, and the corporal has the second. And Jessa went for the highest right away because she'd played this game before. She was like, yeah, I know what I'm about. I'll be the sergeant. That's great. I didn't know what I was doing, but also picked a higher non-fighting stat. So I was her corporal. I'm like, shit, what have I done to myself? And so I made the decision right then and there that I was just going to be dumb, but, like, energetic and perky for a character.
Yes. You decided.
I did.
To do that.
Channeling me in a role-playing game? That's real weird.
God, that is weird. No, it was much more, like, at one point in the game, Jessa's character was, like, just screaming in painful agony in the corner, and the rest of us were like, well, we need to go do things. So, like,
shit.
Yeah, it is a stupid, almost Terry Pratchett-esque kind of game.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
We found out that we had to fight alien fish. Yep. And so at one point, the visor, the GM, by the way, was incredible. He's a fantastic storyteller. He knew when to drop in and offer guidance and when to pull back and not. He was a master of his trade, and we have little visors so that we can get, like, the characters have little visors to get information from the ship.
Yeah.
And command. And so he pops on and he's like, well, it looks like Corporal, you're going to have to lead your troops into battle. And I was like, okay, everybody, we're going to go over there. Come on, we can do this. And I watched the GM as I did this. He looked at me and he grinned and shook his head at the same time. And I'm just like, he, I am my daughter's mother. So, and like, Jess has played his game several times. He's got several games that he runs over the course of Convergence because he's just fucking good at it. So, like, Jess already knows him. But yeah, so we fought alien fish at one point. Jessa was given the weapon of a blasting grill, which is an actual grill that blasts.
Yeah.
I know it's complicated, but we were fighting alien fish.
Sure.
So then we got to have a snack afterwards.
Aww.
With lemon and butter.
Yeah. So yeah. And yeah, so I did get to see my daughter. Some, like, here and there. Again, so many friends. And, like, I literally... Joe picked me up today at 11. And I talked to him about Convergence until it was time to leave for the podcast tonight at 7. So, you're not going to get the full story. If you want more story, we can talk about this on Discord. There's one more thing. I have to drop this. I did go through the dealer's room. I stopped by Bird Hive, and I got this lovely shirt.
It's a beautiful shirt.
Yeah. It's a t-shirt. It's not an AON t-shirt. But Bird Hive was right there, and I had to stop by and say hi. And and I was like, I also want a shirt that says, what does it say?
A yawn is a silent scream for coffee.
Yes.
It's a very handsome shirt.
It's a very me shirt.
Your torso was prepared for a Bird Hive shirt.
Yes.
Where our listeners' torsos should be prepared for our shirts.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about after these messages.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing. I just pictured you burping a grasshopper like it's a little baby, and you're like,
oh, that's really like, cute.
Boop, 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 like just tapping okay, little the grasshopper. Back and being like, come on, buddy, you can do it. And then the grasshopper gives a little burp.
No, the real comedy would be just this huge. Sorry, and just like, ew. How does that much come out?
Oh, you, I'll bet you feel a lot better.
And then it pops away merrily.
Aww.
And that's we're back. Good. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Nice.
And it's not time for a Fast Five.
Gasp.
It is time to tell you about t-shirts.
Yay, t-shirts. Ooh,
shit. We have t-shirts.
Yay, t-shirts.
They're for sale.
Yay, sale.
You should buy them.
Yay, them.
And not just because they're awesome fucking shirts.
They it's are, true.
But we've got a bit of a contest going on.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
I'm looking forward to my tacos.
Are on the line. And the only way to your find tacos. Out who wins...
My tacos.
Look, they're not going to be my tacos. I already know that.
They can be your tacos because you purchased them for me.
No, then they would be your tacos, James. That's how gifts work.
Yeah, but it starts as a purchase.
But they're not mine. I'm purchasing them for you.
Yeah, you are.
That's why I'm not.
I'm going to win this fucking competition.
Mine. I'm not going to win. I know this about me. See, this is reverse psychology. If I say I'm not going to win, then I'm totally going to win. But I'm not going to win this at
That's
all.
That's absolutely anyway, how that works.
We have shirts, and they're awesome. And this contest goes until the end of the month. And guess what, everyone? This is the middle of the month.
Oh, it is the middle.
The month is halfway done.
It is exactly.
It's the exact middle.
So get on that. Clad your torso in an amazing AON shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us which one you like the best by purchasing said shirt.
Yeah. Talking
it's,
to you,
it's really
Cole.
That fucking easy. It's really that easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's getting cold out there. Get the new shirt for
step one, prepare
winter.
Your torso. Step two, buy a t-shirt. Step three, tell everyone where you got it when they're like, oh, that's a fucking sweet shirt.
No, tell them before you get it, because by the time you get it, the competition at this point is going to be over.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
So tell everybody, make your purchase, and then show everybody that you have purchased a thing.
Ooh.
So don't just buy and vote with your buying, but tell other people to vote as well with their buying.
I'm glad we have you here for your merchandising suavitel.
Uh-huh.
Hey, everybody.
This is why I'm not in marketing.
Tell your friends to put on better clothes.
There. That.
Jesus
that
Christ,
right there.
Was that hard.
So go to, go to the AON podcast website, click on the t-shirt competition button, it's right fucking there, and peruse the different designs that we have, then click on the link, go to our merchandise store, buy which ones you like. Notice I said ones. You can buy more than one. You vote for all of them if you want. It makes the whole voting a wash, but that's not your problem.
You're supposed
still,
to be able to wash
you
t-shirts.
End up with
you still have three
shirts.
Awesome shirts.
So,
yeah.
Well, there's that.
I mean, that's not, again, not your problem. This is just to your benefit. And then have a great shirt and tell everybody about it.
Yay.
So,
yeah.
Yep. Now it is time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Oh, Stefan Senpai!
Yay, Stefan!
I know, what a surprise!
Don't mock it, man.
I'm charmed.
Not
keep them coming, Stefan. Keep them coming.
Yeah, Stefan is definitely winning the secret contest that we have.
Yes. Oh, shit. Gauntlet Throne.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Opening thoughts. I wonder how far behind Saint Man and the Destroyer I am now in Lifetime Fast Five submitted.
Oh, shit. I just said Stefan's lining up to win the secret competition. Yeah. Fuck.
No, everybody else needs to get their shit moving together.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, question number one. Candy or spooky?
What's your favorite part of Halloween? Is it the candy or is it the spooky spooks?
That's exactly where I went, too.
Very much the candy.
Yeah, I'm a candy person. If I'm having a Halloween party, are you going to have a Halloween party that is focused on more of the theme of Halloween with themed candies and snacks and goodies? Or are you going to have one that's focused more on the spoopy, scary whatevers?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's like maybe... The two things that I can think of are... when you were a kid, did you more look forward to the candy or the spooky spoops?
Candy.
I looked more forward to the spooky spoops because, I mean, candy's candy. It's
candy
amazing.
Is dandy, but liquor
are you
is
saying
quicker.
Spoop?
Yes, occasionally.
Yeah. Spoop is an accepted newer term. That means basically the same thing as spooky, but there are some people who have different difficulties with the word spook because it derives from racist beginnings. That's an actual thing.
Yeah, it is. But it also tends to lean toward things which are more pleasantly... macabre.
Like Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Or...
I don't know that I've always used it in that way.
Or like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
I'm going with candy.
Yes. I also... Actually, I have an announcement to make. Speaking of spooky and or spoopy things, I just got confirmation that I can go public with this now. I have recently joined the board of directors.
Oh, yeah.
For the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Holy shit.
Because I wasn't doing enough.
I was going to say, Jenna just dropped the atomic bomb on all of us that she has joined a planning committee involved in theater.
Uh-huh.
So, I, for one, am feigning surprise right now.
I used to work... at a 24-hour Walgreens.
I still do, but I used to do.
No, I don't. No, not at all. God, no. That was
the escalators were
ago.
Out at Convergence. For like an
signs?
Hour. There was... Somebody put up a sign.
Nice.
Anyway.
But I worked at a 24-hour Walgreens, and at midnight on whatever holiday it was, Valentine's Day, Halloween...
Right.
Any of those candy holidays.
Oh, shit.
At midnight, they went on sale.
Yeah.
And so I would be... I would get off work at 11. And then I would walk back into the store at like 11:55. And at midnight, I'd be like, I'm taking this and this and this. And discount candy.
Did you get to stack on your employee discount as well?
Uh-huh.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. I came home with so much candy.
All right.
Discount candy. Because
nice.
I don't care about...
And your friends are like, oh, yeah, you didn't trick or treat. You got a job. And you're like, yeah, look at this haul.
Yeah, no, I didn't... I don't care about the costumes and the whatever and all the other stuff.
Do.
I just... Give me the chocolate.
I love ghost stories. I love watching scary movies. I love all of that.
Not my jam. So you're going spooky?
I am.
Jenna?
I think I have to go spooky.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Question number two. Sorry, Jenna. Cheese or ice cream?
Fuck
what
you.
Does Jenna miss most?
Actually, that is a good question. The answer to that would be cheese.
Yeah, cheese is in everything.
Well, it's in everything, but they make some pretty good almond milk ice creams.
Oh, sure.
There aren't many good cheese substitutes. The actual good cheese substitutes that can do like the melty melt, kind of, are all coconut based.
Yeah.
Because you need the fatty fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
So, cheese. If I could have the ability to just eat one of the two in its regular cow form, cheese.
So I think this says something about me that my first thought was pie.
That absolutely does say something about you, Salsa.
Melted cheese on a savory pie or ice cream on a sweet pie.
Mm.
Well, people put cheese on an apple pie.
Or an apple pie, yeah. So on an apple pie, cheese or ice cream?
Ice cream.
Nope.
I don't think I've had much in the way of cheese on an apple pie. Maybe I need to try that from someplace that isn't taking their cheese out of a single folded cellophane. Or maybe that's the best way. I don't know.
Get real cheese.
Okay.
I'm gonna go. I eat way more cheese than I eat ice cream, so I'm going cheese.
Same. I will also say cheese.
I already said cheese.
Yeah. Question number three. Over or under?
The way to get over someone is to get under someone else. Show them no mercy.
I was thinking along the same lines as I would rather be under you than over you.
Oh, God. I don't like being on top. I would definitely rather be under.
I want to be on the bottom. I want to be on the bottom.
I love that you both have songs, completely different songs about this.
Show them no mercy.
And that I, one, do not have a song for this, and two, do not know the songs that either of you are singing.
It is a festival act. It's three women. I can't remember their names right now. Three women, similar to Naughty Body Brigade. They're out of Wisconsin, and they are fucking hysterical. But they have a song called On the Bottom, and the whole song is about both people in the relationship complaining that they had a really long day.
They've been on their
feet all day, they're tired, they just
I think you told
okay
me
we
about
can do this.
This
thing, but I want to be on the bottom.
Right.
And it's fucking brilliant.
It is really good. Mine is from Cherry Pop and Daddies.
Yeah.
Oh shit, okay, all right.
Like, I even sang the title of the song afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
No mercy.
A couple times.
Yeah. Show them no mercy.
So, like, what about a little bit of mercy?
No. No mercy.
Tiny bit of mercy?
No mercy.
A modicum of mercy.
No mercy.
Yeah. Jenna mains Diva and Zarya, but not mercy.
Okay. I'm going to say it is more important to have a tarp over your tent than under it.
Ooh, yes. But under is also necessary.
It is also important.
Shit. Yeah, you got to make a little sandwich. I'm going to say I constantly underachieve.
I'm going to have to go over for that one, too.
I'm going to go over with no explanation given.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah. In high school, I gave up publicly. Okay. I was like, I'm going to fail every class that I can, except for Russian. I'll pass Russian and then just bomb every other class.
Oh, you said Russian and bum, and my brain just went places.
I'm going to flunk every class except Russian. And, okay. So I ended up being number 576 out of 576 students in my grade.
Hmm.
And other students found that surprising.
Right.
And I said, well, that's the educational system that we've got.
Huh?
Yeah. It is designed for me to fail, and I'm just leaning into it.
Yeah. So, I'm over. I'm so over it.
Yeah.
Question number 4. Sneaker or loafer?
Loafer.
Oh, I hate both of these.
Mm.
So what are loafers exactly? Do we mean slippers? Or are loafers the, like, kind of dress shoe thing?
They're a slip-on dress shoe.
Yeah.
Then sneaker.
But I
not like the bulky sneakers, like the...
I like slip-on shoes. So, like, if the sneaker was a slip-on, I'd probably go with that, because that feels more solid. But I just... I mean, behold, my slip-on shoes.
Behold, my slip-on shoes.
Even my boots are slip-on.
Hmm.
I ain't got time for laces, man.
I've never...
Way too much work.
I've never found a slip-on shoe that didn't feel like it was going to fall off.
Mm, I've found plenty that feel like they'll stay on.
No. Let me rephrase that. I've never found a slip-on shoe that I didn't feel like was going to fall off with my obsessive, like...
Yeah. The same kind of thing where you can feel that you've got sunscreen on forever.
The thought never leaves my brain. I cannot not feel my feet, and I always feel... Flip-flops? No. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Slip-on shoes, I'm always just like, this next step is where they're going to fall off.
Weird.
Because they shift any tiny shift.
Yeah. Flip-flops are the ones that I'm always afraid I'm going to lose.
Yeah, I can't.
Those are the ones that I'm just like, well, there it goes.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going loafer just because I'm a slip-on girl.
Cool.
I hate them both, but I would much rather wear a dress shoe than a...
Get a little classy. Sneaker.
So which one would that be?
Loafer.
The loafer. Yeah.
All right. Question number 5. Loop or line?
I don't generally write in cursive, but my signature is cursive, so I'm going to go loop.
Huh.
I don't do things cyclically generally. Like, I do it once and then I'm done.
Yeah, so I want to
get from point A to point B. I don't. If things take deviation from point A to point B, I generally get irritated.
Mm.
Unless it's a side mission in a video game.
Or a pen behind the ear.
Pen behind the ear. Pen behind the ear.
The reason that's so funny is because it aggravates me so much.
Pen behind the ear.
I'm going to go line.
All right.
That
was a
curl
word.
Is the other loop? Loop is the other.
Yeah, loop or line.
Loop or line.
I'm going to go with loop. I have many reasons, but one of them is that's not the one Salsa chose.
Beautiful. That is the most
well played.
Worthy choice I have ever heard.
Well fucking played.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Jenna, did you?
I did. I already said loop.
Okay, sorry. Yep. There we go.
Question number 6.
Question number 1.
Oh.
No, they can't do 6 because it's a form. Mav. That's why we haven't gotten anything from Mav recently.
Oh.
He can't fuck up the form. I put too many conditions on it.
You better knock on wood.
Mav, you have been challenged.
It's true.
The gauntlet has been thrown.
All right, question number 1. Candy or spooky? Which kind of goth girl did you have a crush on in high school?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to say slightly more candy.
Definitely the Skulls and Bats goth girls were more...
Is that the spooky or the candy?
Yeah, no, spooky ones. Spooky,
what is a candy goth girl?
I'm going to let James field this one.
My understanding is that candy goth girls are sort of the same aesthetic, but in sort of violent colors. Like they're going to wear like the an accessory that they would wear would be like a road construction vest, like the bright lime or bright orange with the reflective stripe. They're going to have super brilliantly colored hair. I find candy colored hair super attractive, but yeah, that kind of thing.
I'm going to be honest. I grew up in farming communities in South Dakota. We didn't have a lot of goth in high school.
It's a tragedy.
Candy goth.
I would probably have to go spooky.
I like the kind of more vibrant punk aesthetic that seems to be married into it.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate the variety of goth and punk. Is the question right now or in high school?
It says high school. What kind of goth girl did you have a crush on in high school?
I don't know. It was candy goth.
Candy goth was a latter day goth. Was a candy goth. So I don't think I had that much variety and choice. So I have to go with.
I genuinely can't think of any goths that we had. We had some metalheads.
Those have some overlap.
There was, but none of them were really goth. They were more like grunge metal-y.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just really like vibrant hair.
Yeah, candy
like
hair.
Like, a lot.
Jesus.
I think I would have to go with spooky, but... Sure. Eh.
I think that's why everyone was all, like, having different feelings about Erin Assurance, because she had that bright pink hair.
What?
Erin Assurance was the spokes... a fictional character for Assurance for a long time, and she was like a super spy with bright pink hair, and she would save the day by saving somebody 15% on insurance, and then they just stopped using her as a spokes
cartoon
person,
cartoon character,
yeah. And I think it's because the internet was newer, but still very horny. Yeah.
I think I will say I love juxtaposition. And like bright pink coffins are delightful to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, in high school, I genuinely can't think of any goths that we had in high school. I really didn't encounter goths until I was in college. Mm-hmm. And then, like, post-college, I went to, like, Ground Zero a lot. And then so this is not high school, this is, like, college, post-college, but I'm going to say spooky.
Okay. Yeah. No, I definitely hung out with a lot of spooky goths, so...
Sure.
I guess.
I did hang out with a lot of spooky goths, but I've in that general time period, because I do think the candy was probably a little bit more later.
Yeah.
But I love the juxtaposition, and I love the bright colored hair. Love it.
All right. Question number two, cheese or ice cream? Which would be made worse if it was newly introduced as now with pulp?
I mean, cheese with pulp is just cottage cheese.
That's just cottage cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So, ice cream?
Ice cream with pulp is Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, I'm really... I guess people have a problem with pulpy orange juice, which I don't understand.
Right. I don't understand
that
either.
I like that way, just fine.
I don't like pulp in my mimosas.
Huh.
That's not a good way to do a mimosa.
Huh?
I kind of don't care.
Yeah, I kind of also don't care. But I think it's a good question. Like, if you if you look at the intent of it, like the if you get a brick of cheese and it's got
but like Ben and Jerry's, like, it's not really it's not in pulp. It's chunks of things.
Yeah,
you know, it's not young, it's
like
not
moose tracks pulp or something
of ice cream. It's chunks of things in it.
I would rather have orange flavor in my ice cream than orange flavor in my cheese.
Orange cheese.
I've had an orange cheese, like a citric cheese.
Mm, yeah.
It was a not a Wensleydale. No, I think it was a Wensleydale.
No, no, I had the same thought. It was just like cheese with pulp is just cottage cheese. So
yeah.
But I think that ice cream with chunks is not the same as ice cream with pulp.
Hmm.
And so for that reason alone, I'm going to go with ice cream, but. Caveat with
because the question is which is worse.
Yeah,
okay, which would be made worse.
Okay, I'll go with ice cream because I think ice cream with pulp comes from milk with pulp, and that's disgusting.
Yeah, if your milk is chunky, that's a problem.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't know that I really have an opinion on it overall, but I am gonna say that since I can't have either, not my problem.
That's fair.
All right. Question number three. Over or under? Do you pour your milk of any kind over or under your breakfast cereal?
Over. What? And I think we've had this question before.
What does that even mean, pouring it under your breakfast?
You pour the cereal second.
Yeah.
But then you don't know how much to put in.
How much milk to put in. Yep.
I don't
get it. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I do understand, like, because somebody told me that they do this. I don't remember who. I've probably blocked that to save our friendship. But no, they said they do it so that as they're eating, they eat the cereal that's on the bottom. They like scoop it from the bottom to maintain the crunchiness of the cereal over the course of their dining experience. I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't really eat cereal much, so.
Yeah, but if you put the cereal in, you can put as much cereal in as you want and then add milk to fill in the cracks between. Yeah. If you put the milk in first, then you're pouring the cereal on top and you can't get as much cereal in there. That makes no sense.
Well, their point was to maintain the crunchiness.
I feel like this is the kind of person who needs to get like a tumbler of milk and then a bowl of cereal and just slowly dip every spoonful into the tumbler of milk.
Yeah, just take a spoonful of dry and then a swig of milk.
I mean, that's kind of how I eat salad. I prefer having my dressing on the side and then I like...
I mean...
Put some lettuce on a fork and have the correct amount of dressing on my salad.
And so I'm gonna
I was thinking about salads.
I'm gonna go
at the
over
of this question, huh?
Yeah, I'm over too.
Because
I'm gonna go over.
Obvious. Question number four: sneaker or loafer? Hmm. What kind of shoes do you wear now that you're an adult?
Boots.
I do own a pair of loafers that I occasionally wear. I own sneakers that I rarely ever wear.
Yeah,
because they don't slip on.
I have like three different pairs of sneakers, and I do not.
I mean, I don't wear them. Really wear either. I wear shoes.
They are shoes, Salsa.
No, sneakers are like athletic shoes. They're like
But they're still shoes.
No, but I wear like tennis shoes.
Shoes are an umbrella term.
They're under the same.
You can't just say I wear shoes. Shoes are an umbrella term for a variety of fucking shoes.
But I don't know what they're called, but they're not sneakers. Because sneakers are like basketball shoes and like athletic trainers and things like that. When I think of sneakers, I think something that's like a big chunky thing that you put on your foot for athletic wear.
I think that if you said, is there a difference between sneakers and tennis shoes, people would be like, oh yeah, this is the difference. But if you point to a pair of shoes... that is not like a pair of Reebok pumps, and you go, is this a sneaker or a tennis shoe? They would probably be mystified.
I agree with that. Okay.
So, like, what is a business shoe?
A business shoe would be like a loafer or a dress shoe, or an Oxford.
Yeah, is that a sneaker or a loafer?
Loafer.
It's closer to a loafer.
But it's not a loafer, because loafer has a slip-on, you said.
Yeah. but it's closer to a loafer.
But it's not either of those.
Yeah, but you can't split the difference.
But that's what I'm saying is that's I don't wear either sneakers or loafers. I think what I'm wearing is probably closer to sneakers, but I don't wear either.
Well, then
so
sneakers.
I go with sneakers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with loafers because I've got more dress shoes that get a lot more play than
anything.
I owned a lot of saddle shoes as a kid.
I actually used to wear loafers way more frequently.
I wore boots until I was in high school. Mm. So, cowboy boots. Mm.
I wore a lot of slip-ons as a kid, too.
I find that weirdly surprising that you wore cowboy boots.
Huh. Really? No, I was full-on country until I discovered rock music in high school.
Mm. I actually don't find that.
And then
that
it became all about fucking Led Zeppelin, baby.
Oh, that's fair.
Led Zeppelin's fucking best band ever in the universe, and nobody can change my mind on that. Question number 5, loop or line? Which style of game do you play more often? Time-based challenges like racing and music rhythm games, or story-based games where you're always working towards an end goal?
Story-based.
So I had it with video games and absolutely sticking with line. Absolutely. Yeah,
I'm definitely story-based. I do not like time-based games at all.
I like them
they
both.
They cause me anxiety.
Like fighting
they
games?
Straight up cause me anxiety.
Fuck that shit.
There's a game that I downloaded for my phone called Fill the Fridge. It is an organization game. You just take things and you put it in the fridge, and I fucking love it. But every once in a while, there will be a timed container, and I'm like, God fucking damn it.
No.
Hate it. I hate it.
I think I like all of those. I find myself with a lot more time for timed games because I know that I can sit down and blast through a Mario Racing Cup in 15 minutes, right? Like I can do that in 15 minutes. Win or lose. If I lose, then it's over
but
faster.
But I can also play Breath of the Wild for 15 minutes.
You can.
And then walk away from it.
It's harder for me to walk away from that or feel like I have really enjoyed losing myself in it.
I have no problem with that. Racing games, arena games, fighting games, no. Stefan has closing thoughts.
Oh.
Nope.
Oh.
All right.
That's just one word. Nope.
Those are closing thoughts.
I've said it many times tonight.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send. Please click on the link.
Hey, yes.
I said this for fucking years. Don't even start with me.
But how many non-fucking years?
Also a few non-fucking years as well. Oh, there was a dry spell, but it was a decade ago, but it was still happening there. But I said this for a long time. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to the website, a1podcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five button, and fill out the form. That easy. That's all you gotta do. This doesn't need to be well thought out. You could just really just throw whatever the fuck you feel like on there. It really.
Thank you for giving us stuff to talk
about.
It's
going to be the same to us.
Yeah.
Do we have any in the hopper?
We do not have any in the
God
hopper.
Damn it, you guys. Don't make me work.
So,
don't make me work.
Make this thing. Mav.
K. Cole, which we did get permission to go with K. Cole.
Yes, we did. We did.
K. Cole, I love your Fast Fives.
I feel so much better about
it. I know, right? K. Cole was like, oh my God, I love it. I also love cake.
I had so much fucking anxiety over that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you should do that. You should also go to, while you're on our website, click on that t-shirt link that I told you about earlier and check out those shirts because they're pretty fucking dope. Does anybody have any shout-outs?
I would like to give a shout-out to everybody that volunteered their time to make Convergence happen. Convergence does not pay anybody anything for their time at all. It is entirely volunteer-run. It was a fantastic time. The volunteers were incredible. And a little side thank you, shout out to those that wore masks, which was everyone.
Awesome.
Mostly like the people that didn't complain about wearing masks, which was just about almost everyone. Because everybody had to, because that was policy.
That's fucking awesome.
But yeah, I was very glad that like nobody made a stink about it. So
yeah.
There's my shout out.
Similarly, I would like to give a shout out to a bunch of people involved in Fringe. People put so much time and effort into volunteering for Fringe, into writing shows, directing shows, acting in shows, producing them, and putting them on. Holy fuck. Mm-hmm. Doing tech, doing the doors. Just Jesus Christ, so much goes into that. And it is always fucking amazing. There's always something great to see. And I really appreciate it. It was a great weekend. And thank you to Jen Jensen for being my Fringe date. Again, it's such a big part of my year. So, yeah.
Mm. All right.
I'm giving my shout out to a YouTube channel that I mentioned earlier a few weeks ago, the Acorn to Arabella. I talked about it, the guy who's making a wooden sailing ship completely from scratch with trees that he chopped down on his own property. They are less than a year from launch.
Oh, shit.
Started back in 2016, I want to say. Mm. And I've been watching. I'm finally caught up. And they are getting the decking put on right now. And they are less than a year from launch. Fuck. And so if that's the sort of thing you're interested in, please go to YouTube and check out Acorn to Arabella. I'm not sponsored in any way, shape, or form. I just think it's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But yeah, no, a lot of work went into that, and I would absolutely fucking love to see it someday. But does anybody have anything to plug?
I do, actually. I don't know if you've heard of this, Salsa, but I am doing the Strike Grand Slam Story Slam Championship.
Oh, yeah, you did that at Convergence, didn't you?
God damn it. I did not do this at Convergence because it is not happening at Convergence. It is happening Thursday, September 1st. Oh, fucking A. I had another thing I wanted to do that night, and I said I would because I thought this was the week after. Hold on.
Jenna double booked herself?
Why?
I mean, not really. It was just a show I wanted to go catch. But Thursday, September 1st. At 7:30 p.m. at Strike Theater is the Grand Story Slam Championship. Don't miss the Rowdy Storytelling Show in Minneapolis. See the Grand Slam Champion be crowned. This is the big one, story lovers. The 2022 Grand Slam Story Championship. We'll bring back the winners from the past season to compete against each other. The theme of the night is passion. Doors at 7, show at 7:30, $15, open to all ages, but we do not censor for content. Mm-hmm. And frankly, with a keyword of passion, I wouldn't risk it. Strike Theater masking and vaccination. All patrons, performers, and staff will have to show proof of vaccination to enter shows. Masks are required in public spaces. So, like, if I'm on the stage, I don't have to have a mask because mm-hmm. that's awkward. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, otherwise, masks. So that is the situation there. Come on out and support me because I am all of the imposter syndrome on this one, you guys. I am so nervous for it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Do it.
Do it now.
We're not sponsored by Hidden MN, but there is an escape room, an axe throwing, and board game shop place in Roseville. And they have given us a code that we can pass on to you, our listeners, to get 10% off if you find yourself hungry for any of those activities, including, you know, escape rooms. It can be difficult to get everybody all ready to go out somewhere and you know, spend time doing that thing. Maybe you would rather have four or five friends over as a party and get one of their puzzle trunks. So it's kind of an inside out escape room instead of trying to puzzle your way through an entire like three room thing. You are instead trying to puzzle your way into the center of this trunk to find out the answer to a mystery. Huh. And it's so fucking cool. It's like a Steam trunk, and they've got different themed ones that you can borrow at a fraction of the cost of an escape room that you can walk into. And so you can do that instead. And there are also board games that are similar to escape rooms that have you solve puzzles and look for clues and everything like that. And it's super fucking cool. 10% off. The code is apropos 6933.
And speaking of hungry, Casimir the Hungry will be performing at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, which starts this weekend. That's right. Go to the Sherwood stage at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival at 11 o'clock, 12:30, 1:30, and 4 o'clock to see Casimir the Hungry do really fucking crazy shit.
Yeah. It's a great show.
All right.
Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Yes. Bye, bye. Love you. Bye, bye, bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you so much to Stefan Senpai for sending in the Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.